I'm not gonna faint. I'd cry before I faint. So we're talking about David. There's nothing left on the board from last week or anything like that. So this week's lesson on David is servant leader. Yeah, servant leader. So I'm doing I chose to do five different leader requirements to five leadership lessons from King David. I'll just stick to reading. Alright. What do you guys think makes a great leader? Like attributes. That's the word I was looking for earlier.
Being able to do it yourself and show people how to
do it. Yeah.
Lead by example and others.
By example. Lucas? Think being in charge of anything. What's the first thing you need?
Being a,
what'd you say? A beard?
being you're gonna have to come back to
Lincoln.
So like that's kind of funny because that's the exact same thing we're talking about in leadership skills class right now. But being like great, you know?
Yeah. So courage. Having courage. What?
You gotta have good students.
No. Not every leader gets great students. A great leader creates great students. What? Being able to communicate well?
Yes.
Think about the men that's why they had. None of them were upstanding citizens when they got them in. Think about that 20 minutes.
Yeah. So I've got five things if you're taking notes. It's not an acronym. I tried that. But the first one's patience. King David was no doubt a great leader. Men were willing to follow him even before he was king, even when he was on the run from King Saul. God says in Acts 13:22 that David was a man after God's own heart, which is some of the highest praise that any other man got in the Bible. Only a couple people in the Bible got that kind of recollection. Is that?
Yeah, that's a word.
Reputation.
Yeah, that works too. Not what I was looking for.
I was gonna say like reference.
So none of us in this room are ever going to get the chance to be king or be president at our age or like have a leadership over thousands or millions of people. Here are five ways to be God's kind of leader, a man after God's own heart. A good leader, to be God's leader, requires patience. David was anointed as Israel's king when he was a boy, probably in his early teens. You know that we don't know his age, so between 10 and 15 probably. Big patience thing in his life was like he waited till he was 30 to even like be in charge of anything. I mean, he was in charge of men, but he became in charge of Judah when he was 30. So if he was 10 to 15, he waited 15 more years patiently to be king. Or not to be king, king of Judah, which is only part of Israel. It's not all of Israel. And then he waited 7 more years to become king of all of Israel, as promised. And most of those years were being chased by Saul. This forced him to stay on the run, hiding in caves and fleeing to other countries. At least twice, David had a clear opportunity to kill Saul, and it could have been easily called self-defense, and he would have just became king, and everybody would have been cool with it. But David had like respect for God's choice of king, and let that continue on and use God's timing and not his own. It's one thing to have patience with like your own feelings and stuff like that, but to have patience with what you've been told is coming, like what the Bible tells us is coming, and to just live our lives daily trusting that what's in the Bible is what's going to happen. And if we live patiently and like share the gospel, then the rewards will come. I meant to do this before, but does anybody have Jackson's the only one that's Bible open? Psalms 27:14 is the verse for patience that I chose.
Psalms 27:14.
You can read it whenever you're there. If anybody gets there first.
If his children be multiplied.
What?
Psalms 27.
Oh, dude, I switched that. My bad.
Oh, Psalms 27.
How's it going?
27 what?
Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Sorry.
So, number one is patience. Moving on to number two, to be God's leader requires humility. It requires to be humble. So you're a lowly shepherd boy, and this prophet that everybody knows as a great prophet comes to you and anoints you as king. But you're not king. You're not like able to sit on the throne quite yet, because King Saul hasn't chosen to stop. What do you do in that situation? An old prophet comes to you and says that you're king while another guy's sitting on your throne. Post some dirt on him on the web. I'm the true King David. Well, if you're David in this situation, you simply go back to watching your sheep. When he does get called up to the palace, he works as a servant. He doesn't walk in demanding the throne or getting comfortable. He just humbly plays music on his harp and sings to Saul to comfort him from his sinful ailment. Yeah.
Curse.
And then on the battlefield with Goliath, David's dad asked the anointed king, quote unquote, to go give his brother some snacks. And he did it. And walks up to Goliath and slings his sling, but only with all the power of God. And there was nothing that David did that was honorable. that he didn't do without God. Lincoln?
Yes?
Can you read 2 Samuel 7:18?
I think so. Sure, I hope so. 7:18?
Levi? Don't read it yet. But Psalms 27:1.
7:18?
7:18, yes.
Then went King David in and sat before God, and he said, Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that thou hast brought me hither to?
No.
Okay. Sat before who?
That was.
I closed it.
What was your question?
I was just asking.
Don't ask really questions.
No, it says. And David sat before the Lord. Did I say God?
Yeah, I was future.
Okay.
Can this thing hear clicking pens?
Probably. Probably.
Okay. Hi, recording.
All right. So David was number one. A great leader needs to be patient. Number two was
humility.
Number three is courage. You said bravery. That counts. Same thing. When Goliath came out to challenge the army of Israel, everyone was afraid of the 9-foot giant. Besides the king. No. That's wrong. King Saul was stood a head taller than everybody in the Israelite army. So when they see this 9-foot giant, you can imagine everybody like looking at Saul like, you're king, you're big, you're the next biggest from him, kind of. Are you going to do anything about it? And in 1 Samuel 9:2, it tells us that Saul... I had a quote. It's gone. We're going to read 1 Samuel 9:2. He was very afraid as well. It's basic, but I'm going to read it. And he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man and a goodly... And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. That's that one. So when Goliath was calling Israel out, the Israelites might have looked to Saul. That's where it's at. 17:11. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. So not just the people were dismayed and greatly afraid, it was Saul as well. David was not afraid in any way, shape, or form, because he knew that God had this in the bag. Something that I was thinking of was maybe a reason why David was so bold in doing this is because he believed what God had chosen him to be, which was king. So he's doing all these bold things while thinking, like, I'm not king yet, so I can't die. God says I'm going to be king.
Yeah. I got a gold ticket.
Yeah. So I might as well take my chances. David was brave because he knew who had his back. If you're on God's side, then there is nothing to fear, not even death. Though our giants might look different today, there is definitely still evil in the world that we need to stand up against. Have no fear if our hope is in the ruler of the universe. I have you, Psalms 27.
That's where you had Levi go.
You can read that now.
Okay. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Who shall I fear? Lord is the strength and of my life, and of whom shall I be afraid?
Dylan, can you read Isaiah 41:10?
Yeah, the
All right, so the first, the first lesson to be God's leader requires what? What's the first one?
Patience.
The second one?
Humility.
Levi, what's the third one that we just talked about? The third attribute of being a leader, God's leader.
Courageous.
Are you there, Dylan?
Yes.
Yeah, Isaiah 41:10.
Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness.
Thank you. The fourth one is faith. You must have faith to be a great leader. What should you have faith in, Lucas? What should you hold your faith in? What do you have faith of? What is faith?
You
trust?
What?
Levi?
Faith is believing something that you have grown for. Faith is believing something that you cannot see.
What do you have, like in this context, who do we have faith in?
Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Throughout all of this, David showed that he had faith in God. He believed that God was in control. God had promised David that, I wrote it down because I was thinking of it then. God had promised that David would be king, and since he wasn't king yet, that meant Saul couldn't kill him. Same with Goliath. When others brought up doubts, David pointed to evidence of how God had taken care of him in the past. He trusted that God would continue to keep his promises. It says 1 Samuel 17:33-37, but it was just David pointed to evidence of how God had taken care of him in the past. The Bible says to hold scripture, and like one of the best things to fight off Satan is to quote scripture, God's words. So just remember things in your life that God took care of you, and just have faith that he's still got you, and he's the one true God. Phil, do you want to read Psalms 31:14-15? I'm there, actually. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. That's all I have for faith, which I could have a lot more, but I didn't know. I'm supposed to be going 30 minutes. Not even 30 minutes.
It's as long as God's got for you, bro.
I've got one more, the last one. Lucas, what's the first attribute of leadership that we talked about? You need it you need it if you're gonna have kids ever.
I thought you were looking at this Lucas.
I know, second one.
So patience. What's the second one?
Humility. I have the third one too.
No. What's the third one? Nope.
Strength.
Kind of. Courageous. Lucas, what's number four?
Faith.
Not that Lucas, this Lucas. Faith. And number five, grace.
Grace.
It's grace.
Do you think that God has shown us grace?
Yeah.
How is God? How did? James, how does God give us? Like, how did God show grace to us as Christians? He sacrificed his son. The most surprising thing about David being a man after God's own heart is that he's just as well known for his mistakes as his triumphs. This is someone who slept with the wife of one of his friends, tried to cover up the resulting pregnancy, and had the husband killed when that cover-up did not work. He abused his power at times, wasn't known as a great father or husband, and would sometimes lie when it suits his purposes. So even though David was so close to God and a man after God's own heart, he too is human. But it's not about like the mistakes that you make in life. It's about how you can turn that to also be a part of God's will in your life. What's up?
So I have a question. So like back then, remember they had kings and like others, who were like presidents and stuff. Can they get arrested?
Kings?
Yeah, like kings.
I don't know. Probably not.
Because don't they
can either? I think they can like betray their king or like overthrow their king kind of thing. But like, I don't think the king's guard per se is like going to listen to what the people are saying. They're listening to what the king's saying.
Well, I mean, I think he's meaning like if the president killed someone, he would.
Well, yeah, but that's our time. Kings did not follow those rules.
Yeah,
I mean, that's what like King Nebuchadnezzar did kind of with Esther. But yeah, the king writes the laws, but what the king says goes kind of thing. It's still in there?
Yeah.
So, why would God have anything to do with a lying, adulterous murderer? The one thing David did was recognize when he was wrong and repent. I think last week we read all of Psalms 51 and like the repentance of David and the fact that we could all see that he wasn't just like saying sorry to continue his bad ways. Repentance is a much, much deeper. Repentance is a 180 degree turn from what you've been doing, and it's a permanent path. Being a good leader doesn't mean making the fewest mistakes. It means being open about them and being quick to ask forgiveness and get back on the right path. Phil, can you read 2 Samuel 24:10?
No, he can't
read. Well, he didn't get to read.
24:10. And David's heart smote him. After that, he numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that I have done. And now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly.
So I'm going to pray this out. That's all of our. Dear Lord, I want to thank you for this day. I want to thank you for the the courage that you gave me to do this, and I just pray that we can remember these attributes of leaders so that we might be one day, and that we might be able to lead somebody to Christ and show them how to be great leaders themselves. And just thank you for these boys, and in Jesus' name I pray, amen. I have a question. Wait. We've been doing the group things where Luke's doing, like, he'll put a question on the board and we split into groups and talk about it.
Did you stop the recording?
No.
Stop it.
So it's split into groups of four.
There's 15 minutes.
Okay, so split into groups of five.
Hands off.
Wait. Three groups, yeah. Five people per group, three groups. And the question is, what do you think makes a great leader?
Boys, keep your hands off me. Just now. I missed the whole thing.
Patience, humility,
generosity. I need those graces out, bro.
What?